All right. Good evening. It is Monday, January 27th at 6 o'clock, and I'd like to call to order the City Council work session, special work session. The subject tonight is to discuss the capital improvement plan, and I will turn it over to Ben to get started. Unless does somebody want to read the mission statement or the vision statement for getting started? I will. The city of Gustavus is a distinctive Alaskan city that provides high-quality public services in a thoughtful, cost-effective, and professional manner to sustain a safe, beautiful, tolerant environment to live, work, and play with respect for individual freedom and each other.
You're here.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Sally. As Sally said, we're here to discuss the capital improvement plan. There are things in here that need to be updated or changed. I didn't necessarily go through and update everything before sending out the draft. A good example is the first sentence in the draft that I sent out said, this is the seventh comprehensive plan. This is the eighth comprehensive plan. I just hadn't got around to changing all that. But what we're here to do tonight is described in the second paragraph, where it says that this document as a whole will be reviewed by the City Council each winter to reevaluate priorities, update cost estimates, and choose the priorities for submission to the State of Alaska Legislature through their CAPSIS online submission program. I just won't read the rest of that. That's the main goal of this meeting tonight, is to figure out what we want to send off to CAPSIS. The email came out today. The CAPSIS submissions are due by February 24th. That includes putting a narrative into an online portal for each project and submitting it to the state for review. So just going to go down a little bit on my screen while I'm talking. One of the things that we found over the years with the council and with the staff is, what is a capital improvement project and when do they go into the plan? And so there's a little bit of back and forth here, but ideally what would go into the capital improvement plan are capital projects, high dollar, it's not necessary, but a lot of high dollar and long-term plans. If we want to throw in a new swing set into the park, we can do that. We have the money in our AMLIP accounts, and we can just make that happen. If we want to build a new park, that would be something that maybe would go into the plan, because it's not something we would just pull money out and buy the swings and put it up. We would get the land, and there would be phases to it. And so the idea with the plan itself, when it was written, was for these long-term high dollar projects, so that we could take the ideas and the wishes of the community and the council, put them all into one place, and then each year review what we had done in previous years and what we wanted to do going forward in order to make those things happen. So that is what we're here to decide tonight, is are the priorities with this council the same as the priorities with last year's council, or, you know, prior year's councils? What we don't have that we have had in the past is we have quite a few projects ongoing, more so than in the past, and we have less submittals than we've had in the past. So with different department heads over the years, some of them, Paul Berry as an example, he loved to add things to the capital improvement plan. He saw, you know, 25 years down the road, we're going to need these things, and he's tried to stack the plan with them. The department heads we have now, maybe a little younger and a little newer to their positions, and so whereas they're trying to accomplish the projects that they have ongoing, they have not been submitting a lot of new plans. So that should make it easier for us tonight. But we'll see. So if you read even the introduction, you'll see there's the descriptions of how we come up with capital projects, what the policy and procedure are. When we started doing this, what the different pools of money are that we can use for accomplishing these things. Once we have the, and I'll be updating this as well in this, that once we have the asset management plan, it'll work alongside this to help us see, okay, like the fire hall is going to fall down in 10 years. So let's start working on putting away funding or getting started on building a new fire hall. The idea in the beginning, when it was first set up, first written, was they took the strategic plan goals from the original strategic plan that we built in 2004, and then updated a little bit. Can't remember in what year, and put that in so that the council each year would have the ability to look at the. What the community at the time of incorporation and moving forward, what they thought were the most important things that the city could invest in. And some of those things, like the ferry, we have the dock now. The intertie project is done. Roads are being built up. Internet is it's not dial up anymore. We've definitely moved further. We're working with Safe Streets and all, so bike routes and trails are being worked on, parks and recreation facilities, but all those were listed in there so that the councils going forward wouldn't have to wonder what the community wanted it would be in one location. And so that's there at the end of the introduction. On page three, we have I'm going to go through quick and then we'll go back and everybody can say whatever they want. I'm only going to go to page seven, I think, to start. So the ongoing projects funded in previous years, these are the projects that we have funded that we are either working on or that are stagnant, but that do have funding. Kathy on Thursday last week looked over them and she had some updates to some, like the Good River Bridge, the DRC building, the landfill expansion. This stuff will be added in, but wasn't necessary to get the draft going so that we could accomplish what we're here for tonight. But before it's done and approved by the council, each one of these will be updated to where we are right now. The completed projects in 24. This was kind of a weird one. The Salmon River Harbor cleanup. That project is basically out of money, and we did accomplish the goals. There might be a Salmon River Harbor cleanup project in the future as well, but at the moment, I felt that that one had been accomplished up to what we could with the money that we had remaining, and that was spending the last $9,000 last year to have the big black sailboat hull, the broken float that was over on the north end, and what we've called around here Donnie Chase's boat. It wasn't his at the time, but that's how people know it. So that was removed from the harbor. As the former Marine Facilities Coordinator, those were things that I tried really hard to get done. And so I was really excited that we were able to get that done. Refurbishing the old PO. Ken is in there working. It's now the bike shop, and I should probably change that in the naming here. There's been complaints from the council members over the years that we still call it the old PO, but I think that project has about $15 left. So, but it's not done. It's definitely not done, but it's done as much as we're going to do it unless the council approves more funds. And I have talked to Ken and told him the way to get that started is to create a document showing what you need, bring it to the council and request funding. Then we can start a new project. The fire hall painting, that went well and quick. Zach Williams came out over a few day period last year and painted it, and so that one was done. And that's a good example of that was never in the plan. We decided we needed to paint the fire hall. We came up with a document, we came up with funding, and we painted it. The DRC ditch relocation was done. That's phase one to the landfill expansion. And the Salmon River Park Playground phase one was done. And it looks like Chukka is wrapping up phase two as we speak. So the other community projects, this is just a place for other, you know, like Tidelines was in here a lot with some of their steps of building the Institute and where they were going. By putting in the internet cable, it's a place for that. It's not necessarily projects that the city has I almost said interest. Obviously, we have an interest in these things, but we don't necessarily have we're not part of it, but it is going on in the city. But it doesn't necessarily mean we're not part of it either. The Safe Streets for All is something that we're working on, but I'm not 100% sure if that's the city or if it's Jim or if it's state or what. So that will get updated as well. And then we get to the most important thing for tonight is the legislative request. Like I said, we have to submit something. In order to submit it, we have to create a resolution. So I'll have to create the resolution. We'll talk about it at the work session on Monday, pass it the following Monday, and then I'll have to submit it. So we're kind of on a time crunch for that. And because we've received funding on what has been the legislative requests that we've been making over the last 6 years, we funded most of those projects, whether it was through legislative grants like the Fireland truck, or whether it was through FEMA grants like the water tender, or whether it was through in-house funding, which I can't think of one off the top of my head, but we have. And so we met, Sally and Kathy and I met the other day, and we discussed, you know, based on what's here, what do we think is most important for getting into CAPSIS? And this is, you know, there is no guarantee we're going to get this. We have gotten one that I'm aware of in the history of Gustavus. There may have been more prior to 2018, but I'm not aware of them. The first thing on this was Kathy. First, she commented that maybe we could take the gravel extraction improvement project and ask for less money, because we're not really asking for a machine anymore. Now we're kind of asking for maybe land, or maybe, you know, what are we really asking for? And so we kind of pulled some money away and we put some money over here. And then we thought, well, what if we put it all back together and said it was the gravel extraction improvement project and rock pile or something to that effect. So the idea would be that we would rewrite the narrative to state that, A, we need more land because we're out of land for extracting gravel from, and B, we need rock right now. So we took it and we put it back to 500,000, and that's kind of where that one's at. The Glen's Ditch design, cleaning and bridge installation, that was on there last year, and we thought that that was also a project worth continuing to try to get funding for. It's not a, Glen's Ditch isn't going to dry up this year if we don't get the funding, but it would be nice if we tried to get the funding from somebody else, because eventually if we don't, we'll have to take money out of our savings to accomplish this project. And then Sally said maybe come up with a few others from the list that you guys might be interested in asking for money. I don't know what the limit is, but we're not limited to two or four things, but we also don't have to ask for six or seven things. We're not going to get all of them anyways. So it's not a, you know, So we can ask for two, we can ask for three or four, or, you know, or we could just ask for one, whatever the council thinks. But one of the other suggestions that Kathy made when Sally made her suggestion was we have funded in-house the landfill reload or expansion. We could always ask for that money from the state. And if we got it, we could put our money back into our bank account and use it for future projects and use state money for that. That's, again, up to the council. There wasn't anything else in here that stood out to me as this is a priority that we need to get money for right now. Like I said, we're kind of getting to where most of these are projects that have been in here for quite a quite a long time that that aren't high dollar projects that we can't figure out how to fund. So with that being said, I'm just going to go back up real quick, or go down, I'm sorry. That's it. I thought that I had missed a little section. So then, yeah, I just wanted to real quick, the part two, the FY26 projects, fund in-house for FY26. Again, these are, we can try to fund these in-house, or we don't have to fund them in-house. We can do them or not do them. The city roads improvement phase two, I don't think we can ever go wrong with funding more road improvement. The library ventilation fans replacement. Some people at this table might know about that. The librarians don't really know much about it, so it wasn't really high on their list of priorities. It was last year the council had thought we should put it in fund in-house. We didn't do anything with it, and so it's still there. And then seek funding for FY26, the Good River Bridge repairs phase two construction. Kathy's currently working on that, and if we have questions, she can give us updates. Sol has been working on the extrication equipment and the refurbished repurposed composting Quonset. I don't really have anything to say about that except for right now the DRC's got so much going on that Ian probably doesn't need an additional project that he needs us to fund in-house because it's working at the moment. But if not. And then there's always the additional priority for the fiscal year coming up if we can't get funding elsewhere, you know, and that's why the gravel extraction project is there because it was there last year. So, going back up to the legislative request, can it's kind of a round table thing. You guys can ask me questions or talk amongst yourselves or hear what you guys think.
Thank you, Ben. That was very, very helpful. So, yep, let's open it up. Anybody want to, Kathy, do you have anything you want to put in there before we talk about it?
Well, I can clarify a few things. First of all, when we did talk about the fact that we were going to try to do a different model for the gravel pit, like we've talked about for years, and it was also in this plan by going with one contractor, because give them impetus to invest in better equipment so they can pull more material out of there. However, that doesn't mean that we still don't need to look long term at being able to expand the footprint over there. Where it's unlikely, I mean, it was a okay idea when we first started talking about it, that we're going to get dredging equipment, that we're going to get a dredging pump that floats in the middle, that we're going to have a public works department person who would manage all of that. So we went to this model, but we're still going to need, we're going to need funds to, you know, to put it on RFQ, some project management, some possible surveying, meeting with DNR, possible money for land acquisition. And on top of that, because of issues with DOT, we have several projects going on. Whether or not the city needs a stockpile of various types of rock material, regardless of the contractors, but we're working together to try to see what we can do to get material in this community a little better than we've been able to lately. So that's why we decided to leave that funding in there, because long term or even short term, if we can even get part of it funded and it's in this plan, we might even be able to apply elsewhere, like with Army Corps or, you know, places like that. Because it's already listed as a priority in here. So that's just an update on the gravel pit. And the compost building, we have a another Swiffer grant in for, and we will have another congressionally directed spending request. Like I've mentioned before, it made it out of committee last year. The subcommittee, but of course, the feds haven't passed a budget, so it's nowhere right now. And who knows if it'll ever be stay included in there. So we've been told by the congressional office to add it back in for FY26. Separately, I'll do a request for the horizontal baler because that wasn't funded as part of the project. I'm also going to put the horizontal baler in under the Alaska Municipal League's umbrella equipment request that they're going to put in for everybody. So trying different angles here. The Glens Ditch design cleaning is important. It needs to be done. I talked to the fish habitat guy at Federal Fish and Wildlife the other day, because there are some places where we could replace a bridge where that is, so that would fall under the Anadromous Stream rehabilitation. But it's a bit of a double-edged sword, because you want to clean it, but you also want there to be stuff in there for the fish. So it's kind of a, you know, you got to work closely with them to get that done. I don't know that the entire ditch would qualify anyway, but parts of it might. So I just wanted to give you that additional information as you're thinking about these priorities. And also, we've talked about using our LIDAR data and doing some sort of area-wide drainage study, which would be a whole separate thing. But to me, if we want, we need to have a plan in place for when funding opportunities open up, and we need somebody that can help us do that. So that's my two cents. I would like to see a priority of an area-wide drainage, some sort of study, or at least we could divide it up into two or three sections of the community as a priority, just from what I'm hearing about from everybody, from roads and ditches and water and all that. Yeah, so that's my, and at some point we also need to get some consulting work done over here with the erosion at the river. So those are the two things I'd like to see get prioritized.
Question. What about the, can you remind me where we are in the Good River Bridge? And is that something we should be asking for funding for, or do we have enough?
Well, we already did a resolution when we went after that funding. So we didn't get it funded through the CTP, through DOT. I dumped it into a Denali request, Denali Commission, and they approved it.
Okay.
We just don't have the funds obligated yet. We're working with them on all of the scope and sequence and budget and indirect, but the council agreed to the 10%,
right,
which was $79,000. I'm just trying to work with them on including a bunch of staff time to offset that, so we don't have to come up with all of it being cash from our account.
Do we need to show the $79,000 then in our capital program? Or is it appropriated?
I don't, there hasn't been an NCO on it, but we did do a resolution in support of the city taking care of the 10%. It was done like a year or more ago. So the funds aren't obligated, and I'm not going to breathe well until the funds are obligated, but we've been approved to receive the funds. Like, we've been approved, our grant's been approved. It hasn't had funding obligated. And that's the same with the DRC building that we're working with EPA on. So
Mike, is your question, do we need to do an NCO for $79,000?
Well, that's pretty substantial capital expense. And I just wondered if it should be showing up in our capital improvement plan, you know, where it's visible. And do we need to do an appropriation for that? You can put it in the plan without having it appropriated. It's in the plan. But then we would presumably follow up and appropriate that when the other funding is coming through.
That is what I was going to say, is like with the FEMA grant, when we knew we were going to get the FEMA grant, we didn't do an NCO immediately. Once they told us here's what your funding is, then we did the NCO to show that we had the match, even though we were going to try to use indirect costs or whatever to pay for some of it. The FEMA grant, that won't work, but that was what we discussed.
We could. theoretically put it in requesting a match for that project as a capital project, it's kind of low-hanging fruit. That's how we probably got the $90,000 last year for the wildland firefighting truck, because everything else was in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. So it might not hurt to have $79,000 included in there, because if they don't fund anything else, they might fund that. So,
and doing the NCO is just going to move it from one AMLIP account to the other, so it's not going to change the interest-bearing nature of it or anything else. So if that's what the council wants, so I can create an NCO to have on the agenda for next week or the following week.
I was just thinking it should at least show up in the plan.
That we're going to, is that what you're saying? That we're going to, you, yeah, want us to write in here that
we're planning to spend that money.
Okay.
However we get it.
Yeah. No. One other thing comes to mind with, we're getting FEMA funding on stuff. Our hazard mitigation plan has expired.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's required to get FEMA money, except for the kinds of money that we got for flood repairs. For anything that's mitigating future problems, we may have to have that plan in effect.
I believe we've already provided the plan that was in place at the time we applied for that grant. So I don't know that's going to, if they're going to ask us for an updated one or not. But you're right. We do need to do it, and we need to get a group together to help work on it. Okay. So we've talked about it. We've done
that. They suddenly saying, oh, you can't have the money because your plan is expired.
Yeah.
Real quick, Kathy, on that note, didn't they reach out to you requesting the updated information, FEMA? I believe I had a phone call and an email that then I forwarded you and made you the primary contact regarding that mitigation plan. So maybe we put that on the next work session as a topic.
That is a group that is a provider, Berquist and Associates, or Berquist, whatever their name is, who is they're a contractor who help people navigate FEMA, basically. So they're offering to help us with that. I think that's what you sent me. I don't know that if it was from FEMA. If it was, we'll have to have a look.
Okay.
But it wouldn't hurt to look at having a consultation with them and seeing what they have to offer us, because they may be valuable as well for flooding issues, to help us maybe put a proposal together for flooding or ditching or hydrology or something like that. And having a consultation with them won't hurt, and they would give us a price on what they would charge to manage some of that stuff for us. And FEMA is worth, if it's going to exist soon, it's worth getting somebody to help manage. So.
Okay, Susan.
Yeah, that was kind of, I'm got a head scratcher going on here, because didn't our new president say that he was going to dissolve FEMA, and he signed an executive order to do so? No, and the same thing with, yeah, he did say it, and didn't he say that he was going to dissolve EPA? So where does that put the status of these grants that we think we have because they're allocated? Are they going to claw back the allocated funds? What's going to happen? Do we count on these grants and move forward like we're actually going to get it, or what do we do?
So I was just barely talking with Murkowski's staffers about this in DC on Wednesday, and their summary was, this is very developing. Don't panic. Act like you're still going to get the money. And their expectation is, from what I understood, is that a lot of this is going to wind up in litigation, unfortunately, because, you can't just take away funding that a lot of communities are planned on without some people trying to lawyer up whether that's class action or not. So it sounds like a lot of that is likely to end up getting worked out in the judiciary. But their advice when I asked that exact same question is like, so we have this money, but we haven't gotten it actually appropriated or encumbered to us. So how do we, is that still happening? And they said, developing situation, don't panic. So
thank you for asking that question and bringing that information back.
And could I add that the breaking news today was that there's been a freeze put on all grants and loans and all federal funding. I think they want federal agencies to put together a list by February 10th. I'm sure we'll get more information. I can forward it to you, Kathy, if you want, if you know what I'm referring to.
Are you saying all federal agencies or select federal agencies?
I believe it's all.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't see that. But the DRC project, while it's not obligated yet, it was a congressionally directed spending item rather than a bipartisan infrastructure law expenditure, as far as I know. So that budget was passed by both houses, you know. So can they just seem to be able to do what they want. It's not something that, like Brian says, is necessarily legal. We're going to just have to keep moving forward like it's not an issue until it is. And that's all we can do at this point.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, trying to plan for other opportunities wouldn't hurt, just to get that lined up. But we should have our hazard mitigation plan in place just in case we need to have one in the near future. So we should work on that.
Lucas, did you?
Yeah, I just had a question about the CAPSIS projects, about whether there's anything particular to kind of the rubric that they use for evaluating projects that they would want to fund, that we should be aware of for which projects we want to propose. Like maybe there's like a good history of, I don't know, road projects over marine facilities projects getting funded. Like, are there any things like that that we should be aware of as we're deciding or looking for additional projects that we want to add to that list?
So do you mean ones that they might tend to fund more than others just because of the composition of the House and the Senate or the governor or what?
Yeah, or any particulars of the criteria that they're using for evaluating or just the history of the grant? Like, what?
I think that our two legislators talk to each other and they won't tell us. Like, they come up with a list and it's not given to the public. It's given, and depending on how much money is in the capital budget depends on what they may or may not get. And it also depends on the composition of, you know, I mean, like a lot of money go to MATSU. A lot of money goes to different places in the state where there's some favored people or committee chairs or the governor's buddies or, you know, I mean, I hate to say it, but it's true. I just think last year, you know, Senator Keel was given, you're going to be able to use this amount of money for your district. And because that was under $100,000, they chose it. So I don't think there's any rhyme or reason for it, except for our own priorities. They will look, of course, at critical projects for sure. So I hope that answers.
There's also, Lucas, you can just type in CAPSIS Alaska into the search engine. And you can go to the website and see what, you know, what they say there. It's I agree with Kathy. It's not like, hey, we like fire departments more than we like roads. I think it's this is how much money we have.
And personal.
Obviously.
Yeah. Personal preferences. Go ahead, Susan.
This is on the gravel extraction project. If we ask the state for money for land, would that be the fastest and readiest road to getting more of the product that we've been getting without having to have new staff or, you know, major new equipment stuff? You know, I mean, it would be clearing the land from trees, but continuing to do what we have done at the level of product that we have had. Is that if we asked for money for land? I believe
that's fairly accurate, but. Go ahead, Mike.
One thing though is it takes several years usually to get that land transfer through the, they have to survey it. And it took from about 2011 or 2012 to 2015 to get the land here so that we could build the addition, which we, I think it started when Karen was mayor and we finished it up when I was mayor in 2015. So it was a long, slow process. So you've got it 3 years probably there.
Thank you.
You can expect.
Did you have anything to add to that?
I, like I said, there's all, yeah, there would be surveying costs. The one thing that I'm still not clear on, and I never really got a straight answer, was there was a bill introduced last year that had to do with DNR lands that had to do whether if it was going to be an sort of an economic driver or business opportunity that they were supposed to like sort of sit up and pay attention more closely, and that they may just be able to transfer those lands and you might not have to purchase them. I don't know if this would fit into that specifically. It may fit in more to the boat harbor track that we want, because we could then open it up to like a boat repair place or, you know, what, something like that down there. But, and again, I'm still not clear on where they were at with it and if we would qualify, but it's something worth looking into.
Yeah.
There's other options too. There are some claims over there that we're not sure if they're being used or not that are real close by, might be easier to get there, but, and they're DNR, but they fall under mining, not under public land, where our type of public land.
And something else I don't think that we've spoken on yet as far as the gravel pit goes is there is the fish habitat there, but the fish habitat is attached to a creek. And we're curious if we can relocate the creek. We took the creek, we went underground through Colford, or if we went around the west side of the gravel pit, would that open up that center chunk of land, which would then extend the gravel pits? The I don't know, because I left early at the last meeting, I don't know how much you guys talked about the gravel pits. You didn't. Okay. So, yeah. So I know Kathy mentioned it in the beginning, but we have paused the way that we normally do things. We haven't changed anything yet, but we are looking at a one user rather than three users, because we feel like one user, not only could they invest in the equipment, but they could start pulling the ponds together instead of having to have all those separate ponds with tracks. There's a lot of material in between those that can be used as well. And so that's our initial plan for how to extend the life while we figure this out. And that's the idea of the capital improvement plan, is what do we need to do next? Get the adjacent land, start clearing it. That might take 3 to 5 years. So, you know, that's the idea. Get the funding now so that we can start working on the project, so that in 5 years, when there is one huge lake over there and not six ponds, you know, we're ready to go with what's next. So
I just want to add too that we extended the existing contracts that are in place through April.
Yes.
So that, you know, we can have some time to kind of figure out the next the next project, next plan. So we are back at where we started here with the CAPSIS list. I feel like this, you know, gravel extraction improvement project definitely needs to stay on there as number one, but we just need to decide what else we want. If we want to leave Glen Stitch on there also, if we want to replace that with something else, if we want to add the landfill expansion project in. What is everybody's priorities? Go ahead, Brian.
I think adding the landfill expansion project could make sense, just because, I don't know, it seems like something that might be likely to get funded, I guess, being sort of smaller dollar value. I also liked what Kathy said about potentially putting the match for our portion of the Good River bridge repair at $79,000. Kind of seems like maybe we have a better shot with some lower dollar value items. I don't know if you were trying to say that could go in as a CAPSIS request, or if you were saying another.
Kathy and I from Senator Kill's office talk a lot, so I can double check that with her. But I think we can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are the two that come to mind for me.
Thanks, Brian. Go ahead, Lucas.
Besides the labor required for submitting the request, it doesn't sound like there's a downside, right, to adding more.
No, you know, for me personally, if you said, hey, Ben, I need this money for this, or I need you to look over these six things, you know, I'm probably going to be more like, they need this money, not they put in everything. But that's me. I don't know how the state looks at it. I've only participated on this side of the process. But we last year we put in four and we got one. So, you know, I don't see any harm in it.
Right.
And then the bank stabilization consultation.
Sorry. Right. Oh, yeah.
Bank stabilization consultation is in the mid-range projects, and I'd like to see that moved up. Personally, I mean, that's up to you guys, but I think it's getting worse and worse all the time. So we need to start talking about what we're going to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Could I ask a question, Ben? Is there kind of an estimated timeline for what constitutes mid-range and what constitutes long-range?
Not necessarily. When I inherited the document, there was ongoing, mid-range, and long-range. And I haven't changed that. The only difference has been in where the council has chose to put things. But, you know, mostly I would say, you know, just looking at it, the mid-range are things that we know are coming up that need to be done. And long range are things that we'd like to see done, but aren't necessarily going to, if we don't get the waste energy equipment, the landfill's not going to shut down. But if the city hall falls into the Salmon River, you know, then we're going to be in a little more trouble. So I think that that's kind of been it. There were some things like the city vehicle, which, some council members maybe didn't like it. It went straight into long range from where it was like, yeah, we'll get you a city vehicle sometime. but, you know, again, in the waterless restrooms in the Salmon River Harbor, another set of restrooms is great. That would, you know, be a big improvement on the town, but it's not necessary. You know, having worked in the Salmon River Harbor, people go to the bathroom down there all the time. You know, it's,
I see that the bank stabilization doesn't have a relocation, or a riverbank stabilization doesn't have a cost estimate. So would that have to be produced before we could submit it to CAPSIS, I guess?
Definitely we would need a cost if we were going to submit it to CAPSIS. I thought that, and I could be wrong, mm-hmm. I assumed that what Kathy meant was moving it up into seek mm-hmm. funding or something. I didn't realize that she meant as a CAPSIS request. Is that what you meant? Your mic's not on.
I think at least the consultation and planning could be. I don't know. Really worried that, you know, people, you see all the people that go down there, the erosion isn't just caused by the sand pumping. It's caused by all the people that walk over there every year and go down there all the time. And it's getting more and more and more people all the time. We see it. And so, I just feel like it's a place to start.
What does the council think a cost estimate for having someone come and tell us that there's something wrong with the bank might cost?
They'll tell
a hydrologist. I mean,
do you have any ideas, Mike? What something like that?
I would guess 10 to 15,000, somewhere in there.
Doesn't that, and this is just me as the treasurer, not as a city council member, but doesn't that seem like a fund in-house kind of project?
We have $15,000. Well, I was thinking it would be tell us what's wrong and come up with alternatives to be able to do something about it. And that would cost more than that.
Right. So, again, just me as the treasurer, I would say use our money to get to find out what needs to be done, have somebody tell us it's going to cost you $500,000 to fix, and then ask CAPSIS next year for the money to mm-hmm. stabilize the bank. That's how I see the process mm-hmm. playing out. But, you know, we can ask them for $15,000 this year and ask them for whatever you know, whatever the new part is next year. I'm also, and I don't mind saying, I agree. I believe that, you know, to go against the idea of asking the state to give us $79,000 as our match. If when you put in your own money, it shows that you're invested in it. When you are asking everybody if you can have some of their money, and if so, you'll work on the project. I don't, you know, that's just me, but that's how I feel in life. And that's how I feel here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, putting in a little bit of our money shows that we're interested in the project and it's something that we want to move forward on rather than waiting for somebody else to fund it for us.
I've got another question on this bank stabilization. That's state property, you know, we don't own it.
Right.
I don't know what authority we have to work in it ourselves. Now, if we were just going to relocate the road, that would be on our property and we can do that. But if a bank stabilization is really a state project,
that's true. Mm-hmm. And that's so, what I said as well. That's what I thought.
So mm-hmm. if you can ask for money in the CAPSIS for a project that DOT will do, or presumably DOT
DNR.
Or DNR, then that's possible. But I don't know whether we ought to be spending our money to evaluate that when the state should.
I thought that it would be a state project, not a city project.
And if it gets to the point where we can relocate the driveway
right.
and do that ourselves.
And that we can do ourselves.
Yeah, and it won't cost
and move the parking area in a little bit and so then forth.
Buy us another 5 to 10 years at least, I would guess. So I see that as a priority to keep working on and looking for funding or getting the state over here to, you know, look at it and get a commitment that it will be done.
And I think in the narrative, it says that the state did come in 2018.
Right. I took pictures of the erosion and its approach to the rock riprap under the bridge. Riverbank and driveway are state land. Communication with the state has continued during the winter 2021, but has anything happened since then?
And that's, so I would say no, that probably, I wasn't the treasurer in 2021, but it's since taking over as treasurer in 2022, I haven't heard any. Right. Any conversations about it or seen any emails?
Okay, so.
Just one other thing that I want to note, like Ben was mentioning how, you know, we've got all this equipment, you know, in long range projects, which it's unlikely that we will have to shut the landfill down if we don't get them, right? But the fact that they're in here allows us to, all of a sudden, some obscure grant opportunity came up that, you know, for you to be recycling styrofoam, mm-hmm. I'm just using that as an example, then it's in the plan.
Right.
And,
right.
you know, so sometimes you have to seize the opportunity, even though it's not in your higher priorities, if something like that comes available.
And I think that was why Paul put those things in there. He knew he wasn't going to get all those things all at once, but you know, maybe a earth-friendly grant, whatever, comes available and it's right up our alley. We've already got it in the plan. It's been there since 2018 and we get that project funded.
Along those lines, is there any interest in putting the wave barrier for the dock in the long range projects along those?
Is it not?
It's not. That is, again, that's a DOT
that's
project.
That's not
I see.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, so it wouldn't be. That makes sense. Okay.
Like we could do something to get it started. DOT has made suggestions for how we can get it started, but it's a DOT project. We would not.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Our capital.
We are looking at putting in another PIDP grant, and Brian did talk to the congressional office too when he was there about us maybe trying to work with the Army Corps. But are you saying it's not in here?
It's not.
Well, it wouldn't be because it's not.
It's simply because it's a DOT.
In order to be in here, it would require that we made a scoping document saying that we were planning on doing this, and this is the process.
Okay. Because when I was reading the when they bought the floats after they made the dock, there was a resolution in like 2009 for the float system and us taking it over. And they talked about a wave barrier in there even. So I was just curious, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
When the last conversation that I had with DOT back when Tom was still the city administrator, I don't remember if Mike was the mayor or not, and Kirk Miller said you should get with the Army Corps, see if you can get a free study to tell you what needs to be done, then we can start looking for funding. This is going to take at least 10 years, so if you start today, it'll be 10 years from today. And that was, I don't know, 4 years ago. So it is definitely something that needs to be done. But I think that even DOT would admit they didn't, now we're getting off subject, but they didn't necessarily take their best plan and do it for us. They took the simplest change from what was there to what we have now. They have plans that would have corrected the problem that they just didn't do. So, you know, that might be another avenue is, hey, great, thanks for what you did, but it didn't work. So now what do we need to do you know, it wasn't just one set of plans. They had six or eight sets of plans of, you know, from a whole entire rock, Shamrock Marina down there to, you know, just putting it back the way it was, but reinforcing the wave barrier that, you know, they could have done that.
And it's a great conversation for probably another time.
Absolutely.
Wait
for Jim Kearns to come back from vacation. He can tell us.
Let's get back to, first of all, determining what we want to put on the CAPSIS list. Are we comfortable with the two things we've got here and adding the landfill expansion for those three things?
Susan?
To approve. Go ahead, Susan.
I support putting the gravel pit extraction project as the number one item on the CAPSIS list. I am really uncomfortable with the language in here that refers to hiring a public works person in the city going into the business of extracting gravel in the description of the project. I'm really uncomfortable with that if that stays in the language going into the CAPSIS. I'm not sure. I haven't seen the scoping document for that project. So,
you know, I haven't either, Susan. I haven't changed any of the narratives this year, and only slightly in the previous years. If I did change anything, it was updating cost.
Mm-hmm.
And I, to be honest with you, I didn't read that narrative, but that whole entire narrative is going to need to be redone, mm-hmm, to state what we're actually trying to do, mm-hmm, not, yeah, what it says here. So that will change.
Okay.
And our ideas and that we've thrown out about changing from the three operators to the one operator, that would not be hiring an employee. It would just be incentivizing one company,
yeah,
to invest in.
Good.
Yeah. But that whole narrative will have to change. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Good. Thank you.
Okay. And then landfill expansion. We agreed to put that on it for further discussion at the work session and approval at the general meeting.
In keeping what Ben said about us having some skin in the game, so the 10 point whatever percent is around $79,000-$80,000. Like I said, we're going to probably be able to track some admin time in there. So maybe we just want to say, you know, we want 50 of it and we'll cover the rest.
Can you tell me what you're talking
about?
Yeah,
you're talking about two different things. No, she's not. She's talking about the DRC building, and Sally's talking about the landfill expansion, about asking them to, what we said the other day, about asking them to...
Landfill expansion, yeah. I'm sorry.
The bail fill is the problem. The bail fill expansion.
The bail fill, yeah.
Yes, sorry about that.
Okay.
But that's... let's get back before we get off topic. So Sally suggested that we make the bail fill expansion the third priority.
Mm-hmm.
And I see mostly shaking heads, big smile on the corner. can't see Susan very well.
Be good. Don't we already have $110,000 allocated?
We did, and so the suggestion was that we ask the state for it, and if they give it to us, we put our money back into our bank account, and we take the state's money to pay for the project. That was the suggestion.
Would they be happy with that? I mean,
I wouldn't be happy with that, but I don't know. I can't say what the state legislator they. I mean, honestly, unless we say, hey, we already funded this project, but we're asking you to fund it. I don't know how they would know that we had funded the project.
Right.
I guess I'm a little uncomfortable with that. Didn't we also have some other, I was very confused about landfill expansion. It seemed like there was two different projects.
There's multiple projects.
Yeah, one of them was $109,000 and the other was $110,000. And we already did the yard work, I think, this year out of that $110,000 that was allocated, right, for DRC bail field expansion, where we spent $59,375.
That was to relocate the ditch and for the fencing.
And for the fencing. Okay. So we still have $50,000 in there. But then the other one was the landfill mound expansion, right?
No, those are the same.
Those are the same. Yeah. I was really confused about that.
Yeah. Are you finding both those in this document?
No, I'm looking at this for your treasurer report.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
To give me one thing. And then the other thing was, where is that landfill mound project description?
I think it's probably that I'm sometimes using the word, and I'll make sure that it doesn't happen again, that I'm using bail fill expansion, because sometimes that's how it's typed when I see it. And sometimes it's as the DRC landfill expansion. Just depends on where I'm looking. And so I'll try to go through, definitely in this particular document, anywhere else, and I'll stick with bail fill, because we are expanding the landfill. We're adding a new building and other things to it as well. So to differentiate there, I'll correct that on my end.
So the center mound expansion is the same thing still?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, okay. All right.
And that would include the groundwater monitoring well replacements, yes. Also. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's what we're talking about putting on the CAPSIS.
Yes.
Just to be clear. Okay. That's what I thought. Okay. So we're okay with that?
Yeah.
All right. So good. So now do we want to spend time now prioritizing the other things and moving lists from long-term to medium-term or
mid-range? Yes, the way that it's happened in the past, in my experiences, is some things were considered like good ideas, but not really mid-term projects down the line. Some were considered, let's not let these get away from us. And some were, let's start looking for funding. It doesn't mean that we have to, you know, go crazy on it, but let's just put it in the seek funding thing so that every time we look at it, we see it's right there. Hey, we've said we were going to do this and we need to. And it's also something that, you know, as the person who gets to babysit the document, like with some of the other documents, I know that this isn't nighttime reading for everyone. You guys aren't like, oh my God, I can't wait to see how the capital improvement plan comes out. But it does help to look at it occasionally, especially those first few pages where it says, this is what we're doing. And then you know what we're doing and where we are and what we're hoping to accomplish without having to read the whole document. So it would be up or down. And then is it something that we want to seek funding for? Is it something that we can fund in-house? Those are the only two.
And on these lists here, these aren't in any order of priority within the mid-range.
No, those are just
long range. Okay.
Yeah,
they're
where
the list.
Yeah, just where they were in the.
Okay. So, is there anything that anybody would like to move into a different category, or move up into seek funding, or fund in house? Go ahead, Mike.
I just on the ongoing projects, I've been wondering, do we still want to keep the marine facilities vessel in the plan? We actually funded it so that we had money in place if we could find a SANE boat. We weren't ever really having any luck on that. Maybe we don't need that, and maybe it ought to come out of the plan.
There was some discussion about that. When I was the marine facilities coordinator, I thought that we could save the city money by having a boat that I would operate. My replacement wasn't interested in that route at all. And so we never took it forward. I haven't really spoke to Ken about it. But at the time when we put that in there, we were paying $5,000 each way.
Right.
And now we're paying $1,500 each way. So it's not, you know, we've got a better system. We've figured out ways to do it with smaller boats with sure. People here in town. So I would not be opposed to taking that project back out of the plan, because we're not even looking. It's right. just
we
it's
could
just
return the money that was appropriated.
Absolutely.
So what do we have to do that? Do an NCO to close out the project?
I would think an NCO just to move the money back into the long term from the current. And actually, I'm not sure because of when we did it. Since doing it, since NCOing the money into the account, we changed the policy to say that we could move money from the current account either into checking to pay the bill or into long-term when the project's closed out. I don't know if that applies to projects that we had previously allocated the funds for. But either way, an NCO would be a simple solution. Yeah, yes, sure. We could definitely do that if nobody has any objections to that. I don't think it's as necessary as I thought it was in 2022.
Right.
And while we're doing it, because I keep thinking and then we start talking, there's also the same old road drainage. Yeah. That is something that probably needs to be in here. That was something that was created and was going to move forward. It didn't need to be in the plan because it was moving forward, but now it's stalled. So it's probably something that if I had a narrative, I could add that to the body of the plan if the council was interested in seeing it there.
So that wasn't included in the road improvements?
Oh, I don't know.
You had listed
it's not included in the funds that's listed here, no.
Because we actually have money
yes.
appropriated for that right. project.
Yes, $70,000.
But I don't know how the mayor feels about that priority on that.
Well, no, I don't know. I was the one that brought it up the other day and said I don't see it on here. And I thought it should be in at least in here. But I would guess that's it's a mid-range project. I don't know if it's, you know,
because we've already funded it. That would put it in ongoing.
Oh, okay. So it would go into the ongoing.
And we have a lot of culverts that we
ongoing. Just nothing's going.
Right. it's just stalled.
Yeah. It's just stalled. Yeah. Okay. And in the city road improvements, phase two road improvements line, what is included in that?
Originally,
is that in here?
It could be. I don't know. Like I said, I didn't read over all the narratives.
I thought I did.
Originally, I think it was part of the Wilson Road improvements was where that started, the ditching Wilson Road. And then there, I don't know.
Oh, here it is. Yeah. Ditch stabilizations along Wilson Road and Rink Creek. Preventive maintenance program, road material improvement, and alternate road surface procedure. So not very specific.
and obviously we have done some work on Wilson Road, but we have mm-hmm. not completed the mm-hmm. Wilson Road drainage.
But I'm always all for money in the road budget.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm glad to see
that. Just glad I don't have to drive on any of them very often.
So could I make a general comment?
Yes, please do.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. You know, I'm concerned about some of these things that we're just sort of pulling out of the air and we're not asking the community what they want. You know, I appreciated, Ben, that you included that 2019 urgency survey results in your top narrative about how 6 years ago people ranked what was important to be done. And, you know, a case in point here is, you know, number one was ferries concern, and number two was safe public water. But in this document, we've got safe public water as the last item on the last list. So I'm thinking perhaps we can tease apart some of the larger requests to have steps that go forward sooner. So for instance, if we separated out contracting for someone to find a source, not develop a utility in a delivery plan, but find a source and kept that higher up the priority list so we could be working on something that the folks said was really important to them. And there's a couple of places where I thought that we could do that if the you know, the money for the water sampling at the DRC doesn't come with the big mound request, could we tease out getting those well samples and sampling stations in place to keep working on stuff while we're trying to get funding for the whole big picture? And that maybe it would be good if our plan in terms of ranking priorities could reflect that, you know, there's multiple stages in trying to get just any one thing done. So I don't know the granularity that you would like to see in this plan, but as far as, you know, giving a map of some instruction about what are we going to do next, you know, what's important for us to be doing next, and, you know, we can have the plan for where we're trying to go, but put it into some smaller, more achievable steps. So just a general thought.
If I could just say real quick, Susan, last year at this time, the well monitoring and the bale fill were two separate projects, and the council chose to put those together and fund them as one project. So that project is ongoing and should be done, but with all of it by the end of next year, I would think. So that, I mean, that's kind of the idea, That's where the ever-changing council kind of, you know, I want to say gums up the works, but that's not really what it is. But it, you know, this group of six people has different priorities than last year. So if there are ways, specific things that we can do that on, I'm all for, you know, whatever the council wants. But again, the public drinking water source last year at this time, there was a local business in town who was talking about putting in a public water source, and the council said, let them do it. Just put this back at the end of, and it's not really at the end, it's just in long range projects. It's not at the end, but I see every week AML has in their funding opportunities water grants and things for stuff like that. So Kathy has...
Village Safe Water, we're going through a study with them right now for septage, and we're at a 65% drawing and plans and options, and John Barry was going to comment on that, and then I was going to send it out to the whole council and even the folks in town to review and have a look at it. They've asked us about the drinking water situation, but like Ben said, we thought until there was an issue with some of these tanks or however cisterns, however they were going to be capturing water. I don't know that it's resolved yet. Maybe you know, but there was an issue with the liners and things like that. So the one thing that is the drawback on this, and yes, people are saying we want a public water drinking source, but they're also going to need to be willing to have a water treatment operator in order to do that. So that's a big deal. And not only constructing it, but managing it, running it, training people to do it, you know, what, that's another employee. So I think people have to be willing to say that that's what they want first before we go any further with it. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I'll just chime in. We had a council meeting. This was during Shelley's term as mayor, where we had two ladies join us who were trying to share opportunities for funding for public water sources. And the general consensus at the time was that we don't think we could, we didn't think that the citizens here would be happy with us establishing a public works division for the city to take on that large of a responsibility. Plus, then you look at maintenance responsibilities and obligations, and it looks like it would turn into a huge budget line item. So I think the opportunities definitely exist. It kind of gets me wondering, I mean, it's been, is it 7 years now since that, or I guess 6 years and some change since that last survey? I almost wonder if it might be worth putting out an updated survey to try and get people's current. I don't know if that could be like a 5 years thing where we try and get, you know, directly solicit input from the public of like, at the moment, what are your top priorities? Because that's where my mind went when you were, that's what I thought you were going to say when you started noting that we had that survey from, you know, 2018, but maybe we could do another one and see if, you know, are people still as concerned about ferries? Because it's been pretty pretty consistent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my concern is that it be shown that we are trying to respond to what the community has told us they want. And I would really support getting another survey out. And it would link very well with wanting to move forward on strategic plan. Mm-hmm. And that would be the maybe an appropriate place to do that. Mm-hmm. So I just want us to be responsive to what people have said in terms of them saying their priorities.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Mike.
So that reminds me to ask about groundwater contamination by PFAS. You work so much on that. We haven't done much on that lately. We had some possibilities of, you know, the idea of putting in the barrier mm-hmm. material. Mm-hmm.
Everything just ground to a halt because DOT just kind of said stop funding anything while they were waiting for the new MCLs to take place, maximum contaminant levels.
Okay, right.
To, you know, figure what the EPA was going to do and then the state was going to do if they were going to follow suit. And so everything just kind of stopped. Are
we letting people down on this?
Well,
why not continue to push it
We aren't, no, because I really don't.
I don't know what I would suggest.
Yeah, I don't think there's really a whole lot we can do at this point. I mean, you know, GPAC is basically dissolved. We're just, you know, we got burned out. We met our goals and it's kind of dissolved it. But, and you talked to Kristen at
Shannon
Wilson recently. And she said something about the funding too. And what was that?
I asked her if they were coming out any time. So there's two different things. One is the same old road, which is ADEC.
Right. No, let's not get into
the. And one is the local drinking water. Yeah. And they didn't even get money put in the budget to do the well testing that they have staged around the community. She thinks when the MCLs get legally changed and on the books that they may have to mm-hmm. start funding that again. But for now, they haven't even funded it because I was trying to get them to come out. They're going to handle getting rid of those two barrels of the foam. And
still got them.
So that's how that whole conversation started. And the fact that the state is going to be missing this opportunity, like, you know, the data that they've been collecting regularly is just going to go out the window until when and if they get funded to start doing it again. Right. So
they're not even doing a quarterly or semi-annual
or the semi-annual supposed
to be doing. So, you know, I think it will all happen still. And I think, you know, that we'll end up getting Plumestop in at some point, but really, what we need to do is get back onto the testing schedule so that we can see where it's gone. I mean, it's, you know, it's that stuff is moving all the time and we don't know where it's gone. We don't know what the levels are at different places. And so that testing has got to start up again before we can even determine what we do.
At least for the purposes tonight, there's nothing we should be considering in our improvement plan.
I don't think so. There's just so many things that need to be worked out with the whole cisterns and everything else before we can move forward.
Right. It's probably beyond our capabilities as a city to deal with anyway. It really is bigger than we are.
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, and there's liability concerns for the city as well. So that's a big, huge deal too, besides having to have a trained operator.
Right.
Yeah.
So
if we have our own water source.
Yeah.
And I'll just briefly note here, I guess first I am going to write up a synopsis of the whole time in DC and send you out some details. But this is another thing that I talked with specifically one of Dan Sullivan's staffers, who is like a PFAS person. And Dan Sullivan himself, they said that's something they're following closely. And they're actually trying to get funding put together for the state of Alaska to have a facility in the state where PFAS waste can be processed, according to the latest. So anyway, that is something that's being followed and worked on at the federal level too, but it is kind of hurry up and wait sort of with the different levels.
Thanks.
And one more, didn't Jesse Keels
newsletter talk about they've now gotten permission to not use the phones anymore at the airports.
Yeah, I think so.
And they have a fund for collecting it, but they're leaving it up to every single community to contract their own person or people to do every single one instead of having a regional collection. But Shannon and Wilson is helping out with that. So they're going to give me a quote.
Okay, so getting back to prioritizing, there's a good discussion about water. And I think there's no hurry on doing this, prioritizing this list. Is there now? Or should we do some prioritizing and then, you know, and then send out a survey and then work on it again later?
Well, it's a 5-year plan that we update each year.
Right.
So like I said the other day, last year, I think it was in April that we passed it. We had one meeting and then I changed things, sent it around. Everybody that wanted to looked it over, that we decided that we were in agreement and we passed it. We don't have to do it in April. It's a 5-year plan, you know. It's we don't have to, but it is nice to be able to do that. And just looking at it, looking at the mid-range projects, the Good River Bridge repairs are working on. Kathy's working on the baler. The composting Quonset is a $15,000 project. Bank stabilization was something that was important. The Salmon River Boat Harbor track we're working on. The boiler replacement is being done. The city hall electric meter should be done just so we have an accurate accounting, but it's is what it is. And then the stuff in four is, in my opinion, wish list stuff. Where nobody over at the fire department is screaming about getting a new fire department anymore. So it's not, you know, it's, I mean, there was a time when, you know, our fire chief wanted a new fire department. So, you know, I don't see how extensive, I don't see a lot of extensive changing, even if we beat it to death here tonight or over the course of a few months. But if you guys have suggestions right now, I'll start updating them. If you don't have suggestions right now, then, you know, I'll just work on what I'm working on. Susan has a thing.
Go ahead. And for the long range projects, the styrofoam densifier, if we're having an issue of filling up the mound, if we got the densifier, that would slow down filling up the mound, right? Or give us the opportunity of sending it out, right? If we got the styrofoam densifier. So I would suggest moving that up to like higher up the priority list because it's
not- But do we have a place to put it?
It's not that expensive. Is there a place to put it? I don't know.
Again, I'd have to, it's in the narrative here. I'd have to go down to it and see if it's very big. I don't remember. I remember the one that cuts up the metal, the glass pulverizer. I know that if you ask the landfill, the glass pulverizer that we have, I've worked on that. Mm-hmm. So I know that it's constantly being maintained by people. If I were in charge of the landfill, I would say that let's prioritize that over the other, but without having Ian here, I guess that would be a good one to send him an email and ask, is that going to limit what we're putting in there? How much styrofoam are we putting in? So that's actually a pretty big machine.
Yeah.
I think that's probably going to require the new building.
The new building.
Yeah, it looks like small trailer size.
And it was a little complicated for me trying to sort out having, you know, DRC requests in every area. Maybe an easier way for a regular human being to apprehend this document would be if it was divided out by department, especially the big ticket departments. So the DRC has their priorities, mid-range and long-range stuff that they prioritize because they have the intelligence to do it, you know? And the same thing with roads and the same thing. If we broke it out in departments rather than having it scattershot, these are all the mid-range and here's and they're all over the place, and then trying to reconcile it about what are we already committed funding to, because we've already committed $381,395 out of the $400,000 whatever current AMLIP stuff. So It would be easier for me, I think, if it was broken out by department. Just a suggestion.
No, that's, I can do that.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. I like that. Okay, well, anybody have anything else?
The only other question I would ask on the whole thing is, are there things that you see in there that we're not looking for funding for currently that you wish we were looking for funding for? Right now, other than things that we have funded, we're seeking funding on road improvements, which we may or may not do in-house, the ventilation fans, which again, the librarians weren't aware that they were a problem. Gover Bridge, we've already done. We are looking for extrication equipment. We've got partial funding for that. And then the Quonset Hut, is there any other thing in here that you guys see that you think Kathy needs to be out looking for money to accomplish?
Well, I know that Kathy already is looking for money for the Baylor, so that could be added to the seek funding list here.
Okay.
Because we're going to put in a congressionally directed spending request for that this year, right? Yeah. Just talking with them about that.
And I had, when we were talking about it the other day, for some reason, I thought that was part of the DRC building.
No,
so I hadn't.
Yeah. Really... Yeah. It's kind of confusing what is and what isn't.
It's a scalable. Can you scale it? And I said, yes. And that was the highest amount. And that's not what they gave us. So it was without that.
Yeah. Okay. So it got skimmed off the top, basically.
Oh, okay.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
On our CAPSIS request, we have to prioritize them, right?
Yes.
And have we settled on do we have an idea of the order of those three items or whatever it is?
That was what I asked earlier. I thought that the consensus was that it was the gravel pits, the Glen's Ditch, and then the bale
fill. In that order, okay.
Does everybody agree with that?
Yeah.
We would need to put that in our resolution, I guess, on this.
Yep.
Prioritization.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if bail fill expansion might be, except that we've already funded that, so we do have that funding.
And if we could get the money for the other, I think that would be a priority over the money we've already allocated.
Yep, for sure.
Okay, so you will provide us with an updated.
I just have one question. Yeah. With that ventilation system, is that something that would go on the asset management list that you're working on?
It wouldn't go in the asset management list. It would just, as we improve, we could even take that money, to be honest with you, from the repair and replace to fix it, assuming that there's something wrong with it. It might, like with the new roof, when we put the new roof on the library, it increased the value of the library. By doing so, that increased the amount of money that we're setting aside each year for the library. It wouldn't, in the asset management plan, which is in its fledgling state, it wouldn't be like ventilation fans, $5,000 or whatever, because the building itself is the asset, not the individual parts.
Pieces of it.
Yeah.
Is that $5,000 something we think that we could just do in-house?
I think so. I think that Kathy is the person with the most knowledge of the library's building. 2 years ago, it was 2 years ago, I asked Jesse and Leanne what they thought about it. And they said, what's wrong with the fans? And I said, oh, I don't know. And last year I asked Melissa and Leanne what they thought about it. And again, nobody knew that there was anything wrong with the fans. So it becomes less of a problem. It just looks
to me like that it's saying that they're going to break in the next 5 years. So I feel like we should, like, if we know that we have this thing that's going to fail, we should probably be budgeting somewhere to be able to fix it.
Yeah.
We could at the work session coming up, that could be a suggestion that we allocate $5,000 for it, create an NCO, do it. Probably need to get with Mark Berry or whoever. I don't know who does fans, but
those are heat recovery ventilation. There are two of them on each end of the building.
No,
right there.
That's different.
Not the heat recovery.
Okay, so there's the louvered pieces that are in the entryway with the bricks. that you can set. And when you set it at a certain temperature, once that room becomes a certain temperature, the louvers open and the heat goes theoretically into the building.
So it's that fan, not the...
No. The way I understand it, so when we built that building, because it was going to cost $40,000-$50,000 more dollars to put this elaborate HVAC system in, and we didn't have the money, we put a fan system up there because it wasn't that big of a space. Whether we had the HVAC system or not, because of those foil panels and those panels that they were being used on buildings all over the place, it was causing problems in buildings all over Southeast. So they replaced the roof. I wasn't here for that, but my question was, when I saw the fans, was, are those the fans that were operating for air exchange in the roof line? And are they being used even right now? Like, nobody seems to know that. So yes, Mark, either Mark or somebody knowledgeable enough to look up there, and the guys might know who put the roof on, what's up there and what it looks like too, because they took photos, I'm pretty sure.
Well, I remember looking at it with Mark and Dean Weichel, who's knowledgeable on this stuff. Couple of years ago, and you know, what I recall was that the concern was with the heat recovery units, but which aren't very big, but maybe the thing to do is actually to contract with a consulting mechanical engineer, have them come and look at all of those, you know, all of the HVAC equipment in the library, and have them just describe whether we've got issues with it or not. I think Mark was concerned about dust and dirt building up on fan blades, and that it was too...
The ones that were up in the roof, not the ones on the louvered windows. Those things are right there, and you can clean them with a rag.
No, these are ones that are up in the high.
Yeah.
On the two ends of the building, as I recall. I remember looking at one on, you know, one end, but. So I think it's worth getting a mechanical engineer to look at it, who's expert on that. And, you know, you don't have to spend an awful lot of money to bring somebody over here to look at it. And maybe that ends up saving you money, because you find you don't have to do anything at all.
Well, does it get serviced annually, like it says in here? It says the HVAC system serviced annually, so additional information or timing may be forthcoming at the next servicing. But this is a, you know, an old summary.
I would say that the problem is we don't know what the problem is. And no, we do not budget money for the library's HVAC system to be serviced annually. I do know that.
Okay.
So it might be a good idea to have someone come in and look at it and
service it. And then let us know what needs to be done.
If a council member came forward with a proposal for the council, if, you know, we could easily create an NCO for $5,000.
Sure.
So, you know, if that's something you're interested in, Lucas.
Yeah.
Could ask any of several consultants in Juneau to put a proposal to come over and look at it, write up a description.
I'm going to check with do this construction first and see. Yeah, what
and Mark can tell you a lot. He knows.
Well, Mark can too, but those guys had the roof torn up, so they probably know what's under there too, don't they?
Well, they were looking at the plywood on the roof and, you know, the rot that had occurred up, you know, up at the top. I don't know that they were looking at anything mechanical. And the mechanical stuff is not up at the peak of the roof.
Well, either way, we can check with both.
Yep. We've got it listed, fund in-house. So
huh?
I said we've got this listed for funding in-house,
yeah,
right?
So, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it just needs to be pushed forward if that's what we want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds like a good plan.
Okay. Yes.
Is there a way for us to clean up and finish up the dozen projects that we've already got ongoing? In this spreadsheet, the items that have $15.43 remaining, I mean, can we close those out and, you know, so finish up what we've got started? That would be great.
Yes, I brought that up at our mini meeting the other day, that there are a few projects with small amounts of funding left. And so there's like with the marine facilities shed, it's not really the one I want to say, but as an example, that there's $1,300 or whatever left for that. That money could buy picnic tables.
Sure.
So it's hard to close out projects when you're like, hey, I think we finished the project. And then we could buy picnic tables with it, or, you know, we might need the beach improvements as one. It has a small amount of money, but, you know, sometimes people go down with their chainsaw and cut down the signs and we have to put it back up. It's nice to have that money there, but I'm with you, Susan, that I do think that we could close out some of these projects. And I have three: the marine facility shed,
we want to put a water source there too. So,
oh, right.
That's so, you know, just like under pressure, whether we tie into the landfill or have our own, we're gonna figure that out.
Right. And so then there's the marine facilities, the cleanup, the shack, and the fish waste. All three of those have a little bit of money in them. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I wanted as the marine facilities coordinator, and I still think is a good idea, is adding a water source down there with a hose. We can use it to clean out the fish waste station. We can also use it to spray off trailers when they come out of the water. It can be a public service that we offer. I think that's a good idea. If it were just me, I would close out the existing projects and I would start a new project and I would fund that project rather than holding on to these small amounts of money. Right. But I don't always get, you know, it's not always just me. There's, we're a group here. So if that's something that the whole council would like to see, is some of these older projects go away so that we can start rethinking new projects, I'm all for that. And the last one was the Salmon River Harbor cleanup. That did just get done. So that small amount of money is because that just ended in October, November. And I wanted to kind of come forward with a list of, hey, I want to close out all these projects, put the money back into the long term, and come up with a plan for moving forward.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be great. And yeah. And like, what's the library roof awning shed with $691 left
in? That's it? Again, that's for a picnic table.
Okay. It's for a whole plastic picnic table, so they can leave it outside and leave it. We were talking about ordering two of them together for two different departments to save on shipping. We just haven't done it yet.
Okay, so, great. Yeah, it would be good to just get those projects, you know, just a little push to get them done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and then it always closed out. Or consolidated or whatever we need to do to just make it cleaner.
I love cleaning things up and starting new. Yeah. So that's...
And then one more suggestion about in your narratives, you might hark back to that 2019 survey. For instance, it said that, fifth most important was clean energy. And we're talking about putting in the heat pump project money is, you know, a reflection of working forward on that. And if there's an electric meter on, you know, then that's moving forward on that. And refer back in the narrative to how we are actually responding to what people have asked for.
Okay.
And that's actually why we need our own meter. It's not just because it's not only because we're sharing it with them, it's that there's only so much power left in the power boxes mm-hmm. or heat pumps.
The cable and everything under the roof. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's good.
And we can't tell how much it's saving us or not saving us because we have, you know, because we share with them. So
yeah, that's one thing I would like to see moved from mid-range projects to either seek funding or to fund in-house.
Okay, that we talked to AP&T about it. It's a matter of them digging a hole under the road.
Oh, that's
But I've seen, what's Cunot. His face? Yeah, Cunot digging holes under roads. And if he can do it, I'm sure AP&T can. Yeah.
Even Cunot can bore that for him if they have
to. Yeah, I think that would be an important thing to get taken care of.
So move that up to seek funding or to fund in-house?
Or to fund in-house.
A question on this, I guess, go for it.
Because depending at the end of May how much funds we have left in the incentive program.
Oh, that's right.
We have gotten permission for the city to use some of those funds for installation and the stuff we have to do to get it working. So we may be able to have some money from that depending on how many people apply for the program.
Okay.
Yep. That's what I was going to mention.
Yeah, we got to do it by May 31st.
I've forgotten that. I knew that too.
Well, we don't have
there's to so many little things.
Board the thing by May 31st. Do we? Maybe we just have a contract in place. I don't know, but yes, we have to look at it by then.
Well, let's still move it into one of these.
Yeah, okay. We fund it for sure. Yeah, sure. For fund in house.
Whether it's fund in house through our own money or through the money that National League of Cities gave us.
Yeah, fund in house.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Thank you all. I think we are adjourned. It is 7:35 p.m.
And thank you, everyone.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for all your work, Ben. Really appreciate it.